today's topic. Is method theorem, and the version I'm going to present is due to Kevin and Owen. So we have seen, I think Monday exercise, in Monday exercise, a tutor exercise, a version of method theorem. So I'm going to present sort of quantum theory version of that, and maybe I should start saying that this method theorem is sort of the last chapter of their kind of two-volume book, and it is for a reason. It somehow uses a lot of kind of ingredients built up toward that, and my goal is to explain this method theorem in some way. So. Unavoidably, of course, I'm going to sort of not going to be able to give all the details, but hopefully I can give some ideas and how it can be used to understand some parts of field theory. Okay, so the statement we want to get to is the following form. I'm not going to define everything here. We are getting there. So if you have say symmetry of field theory, what we are going to say is that there is some version of universal enveloping algebra, the BD algebra, twisted by alpha, whatever it is. Then we are going to have a map of factorization algebras. So you can just read it as a symmetry gives an observer. So for example, if you have like large amount of symmetry, then you are going to understand a large chunk of observers by this kind of simpler construction, for example.
L is what, the infinity algebra?
Sort of, yes. Yep. Okay, so that's what we want to get at. But it's kind of complicated. So let's specialize to the situation classical zero dimensional and maybe unshifted first. So this statement is sort of quantum involving quantum observer. And the theorem is stated for d-dimensional interacting theory. And by unshifted, I mean that the theory we have here is a shifted thing. You know, E is minus unshifted, and then theorem kind of is formulated in that way. But I just want to explain sort of the idea by focusing on with the simplification. And you may think of this as a Hamiltonian mechanics. Okay, so what kind of thing do I mean? So for Hamiltonian mechanics, I want to think of symplectic manifold as an input data. As a phase space. But when you say you have a symmetry, symmetry means that you have a map from your Lie algebra to symplectic vector fields. Lie algebra map.
So, before you go on, is the statement that when L is like the factorization analog to the Lie algebra,
That's correct. Okay. And method theorem in this case is saying that starting from symmetry, I want to have map to observers. Namely, this. So I want to package this with this diagram. So the usual diagram in this mechanics. So this is a map of Lie algebra where I'm thinking of Poisson bracket here and the usual bracket vector fields. And the map is Poisson bracketing with the function, sort of Hamiltonian. Given a function, you think of that as a given Hamiltonian vector field. And the question here, this net theory theorem is kind of asking in this simple version is, given a vector field, can you lift that to this space of functions, observers? Is given simply the vector field Hamiltonian? So that's the flavor we want to understand. Somehow, given a symmetry, we hope to find this sort of map. And that's what we are trying to understand here in the simplest case. Right, and of course, sometimes there's obstruction. So for example, if you identify vector fields with the form, using the symplectic form, then symplectic form corresponds to closed form, and Hamiltonian vector fields correspond to exact form. So you know, first cohomology is obstruction. But you can always find some central extension. So that actually there is a map from this G hat to OX. And that sort of central extension is going to be playing the role of this alpha. So we are going to be much more precise when we actually get to real thing. I'm just saying that this having an obstruction doesn't stop us from formulating a theorem. That data is used to put this as a twisting data of your enveloping algebra, and with that you're actually still going to get a map to your space of functions. Okay. So here, what I want to observe is that given a map of this is a map of Lie algebra. And I just want to write down some sort of adjunction. So given an associative algebra, you can forget down to Lie algebra, and its left adjoint is the enveloping algebra. And that's how you get map of associative algebra. In the same way, what I want to point out here is that given a map of Lie algebra, by thinking of symmetric algebra, which is a Poisson algebra, because you know symmetric algebra is a multiplication, and then your Poisson bracket is kind of extended by you know being a Poisson bracket. So given this map from G to OX, I'm going to get a map of Poisson algebra. Just by this adjunction property. what I'm writing down here is that I want to think of this CMG as some universal Poisson algebra of chi, just like here. That's what we are getting at. Okay. Okay. Is this clear so far? This is what's the simplest case. Now, let's still think of classical zero-dimensional, but not unshifted, namely shifted and minus unshifted. So this is what we've been saying as a classical field theory. So in this case, what's playing the role of X is E, this minus unshifted space. By the way, I should have said that in Hamiltonian mechanics, you have this additional data of Hamiltonian, and you want to sort of work with things commuting with the given Hamiltonian, and that's playing the role of. So here, Hamiltonian is going to play the role of action functioner. and if you're actually careful about the formalism, and basically everything is kind of the working verbatim. So let me kind of assume that H is not here, S is not there. But once you understand this way of thinking, encoding sort of space of functions in terms of Schwarz-Lenz quotient complex with the L-infinity algebra, and where L-infinity algebra corresponds to exactly this information of action functioner, I think that's going to be clear. And that's actually going to be explained a lot more in the exercise session. I mean, not going to be explained, but you are going to understand better if you do the exercise. Okay. So here, I need to identify what I mean by symplectic vector fields and functions. So still, I want to write down this map, Lie algebra map from Lie algebra to symplectic vector fields. But remember, we are working with a formal setting where all the symplectic vector fields are Hamiltonian vector fields. And Hamiltonian vector fields are just sort of non-constant functions. Right? You given a function, you can think of the Hamiltonian and only constants got killed. So I'm going to think in this way. And these observables are replaced by I think Hamiltonian vector fields corresponds to shifting by minus one. And functions here are replaced by functions on E. But because E is minus one shifted symplectic, this is going to be DG Lie algebra. And of course, because we are already working with derived setting, by G, maybe I don't just mean the usual Lie algebra, I mean DGLA. Everything is fine in that generality. So what am I saying? So what I'm saying is that I'm still going to be looking at this lifting problem. Okay? And exactly in the same way. I can draw this junction diagram. Which is going to say that when I have a map from Lie algebra to functions, automatically I'm going to get a map of, say, P0 algebra using the junction. Kind of formally, really, for the same reason as before. Okay. And one difference is that this obstruction thing is going to be again for shifted Lie algebra. And then sort of the same idea will be working out. Okay, so I'm trying to kind of the observe a few things by step by step. In the first case, in this Hamiltonian mechanics case, I was just kind of the giving some argument for why one should expect such a thing, kind of enveloping algebra to observers. Why do you expect to have some map of algebra? And in classical zero-dimensional case, what I'm saying is that you are going to see, once you have this lift, then you are going to see this P0 enveloping algebra, namely sim G1 to OE. Sorry, I mean minus 1 there. Otherwise, this is not a DGLA. Sorry. I'm having this map exactly for the same reason. And again, for the same reason as before, you're also going to get sort of if the central extension class is I actually didn't mean to explain it here, but maybe let me say a few words. Central extension, if you know the story, it's classified by second cohomology of your Lie algebra, and because it's a shifting, you're actually it is classified by the first cohomology. And actually, first cohomology in this kind of the DGLA or L-infinity setting is not just about a central extension in this form. It's kind of the central extension as a sort of L-infinity algebra, but let's kind of not worry about that. And given this central extension, we are going to see a map like this. Sorry?
The right hand side is part
picture, okay? Right hand side is what?
Right
hand side? No, still classical zero dimensional. So P0 is kind of classical data, and we are going to understand, the goal is try to understand sort of after quantization what happens.
So when you make P0,
that's right, but I'm saying that by this, you are actually putting G hat, and then you may or may not evaluate this parameter to be a particular number, say 1.
Sorry, so the statement is that maps from G, the same point they affect the fields on E, is the same thing as maps of this thing to that. Is that right?
So I'm saying that given this, you are trying to lift it, and then you are, in general, you are going to find obstruction, and obstruction is going to be classed there. It's H1. And then using this obstruction, you can construct this central extension. And given central extension, you can just construct this by doing this enveloping construction, namely sim of this shifting. That's kind of what I mean by this UP0, maybe G hat. But by putting alpha here, that's what I mean.
So is the statement that maps from G to simplify the field E is the same as maps from that to that?
Maybe I'm not following what exactly you're asking. I'm saying that. I'm just saying that, given this.
I mean, before you had this injunction, you said that maps from G to OX is the same thing as maps from sim G to OX.
That's right. So if you had a map to from G to OE, then you are going to have P0 enveloping algebra to OE. But I'm saying that the difference is kind of exactly captured by this alpha. So if you started with this, then possibly you are getting this alpha. And with this alpha correction formulated in this way, you are getting this map.
OK, so is the thing true or not?
Huh? So when I say dotted map, if you actually have actual map as opposed to map from central extension,
then alpha is zero.
That's right.
But if you have a map from central extension, then you have a non-zero.
That's right.
And that data is the same as the data that dotted map possibly from a central extension.
Right.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm sorry, you might have already said this. Is U alpha of G just U of G
half? Right, you can think that way. But I think depending on convention, you may want to set, say, this is C, and then you just kind of maybe put C to be 1.
And alpha is just any class?
Class, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we are one of the goals is try to explain this in a more systematic way using some deformation theory argument. So, okay, now again, I guess. I want to think of sort of the quantum case. So the situation is sort of the same as before. But now we want to understand sort of the quantization of this map. So goal is given or its quantization. We want to understand quantization of this map. Sorry, I mean E. And basically, the only thing we have learned about how to do quantization in this framework is by this deformation obstruction theory. So I kind of noticed that simplicity factor is always Hamiltonian in this case. Because it's kind of the formal space. So we were thinking of always kind of when you write E, from kind of physical point of view, it's kind of the formal neighborhood of a particular solution. So it's a symplectic Hamiltonian. I mean, still going to be, you need to consider this map and then trying to understand obstructions to that. I don't think that's different. Yeah. Any other questions? So I want to make sure people follow sort of the what's going on here. So what we have been doing is that given a map to symplectic vector fields, which is an action, we want to lift it to a map to observer. But what we want is quantization. So the formulation of the question is really that if you're given a quantization of this kind of action, namely map to vector fields, how do you quantize this map? But one thing we have learned is that although we haven't done maybe too many computations along this line, is that this is sort of the so this is kind of independent of this discussion, but we are going to connect it pretty soon for theory E. Sorry, I mean with the differential. So our theory, the data of theory was given as minus one shift simplicity thing together with Q. Together with I, which satisfy classical Maxwell equation, so that this actually is a cochain complex. And one fact we have mentioned several times was that order by order in H bar, you're trying to compute obstruction, namely the failure of this effective action satisfying quantum Maxwell equation that gives a cohomology class here. And if it vanishes, then you can kind of quantize the next order and so on. So understanding this complex was kind of the key to understanding quantization for any given theory E. So what I'm trying to say now is that I want to formulate this problem regarding maps just like a theory on a different space. That's the idea. So how do you do that? So remember, so now I want to use this kind of the L infinity algebra sort of the way of thinking, which is convenient. And I know I mentioned this and kind of the left is an exercise, but maybe not everyone did it. So I kind of gave even more exercise today. But the idea here really is that, let's see. What is what? Yeah, I'm going to say. So given E, you are kind of producing M to be minus one shifting of this space. I mean, this is kind of the what I mentioned in the last part of my lecture. But the claim is that if you're having a function here, and think of its corresponding vector field, that actually corresponds to Chevalier-Elmore differential, which also corresponds to L infinity structure on M. So what I'm saying is that given field theory data with an action functioner, that much of information can be encoded in terms of an L infinity structure on its shifting. And I kind of mentioned this example of Chern Simons, and today's exercise, we are going to see sort of more systematic way to understand this thing. Okay. I hope sort of the claim is not really coarse. It's, I don't know. I hope the sort of statement is clear because I'm going to use it now. Okay. So I just said that we have learned this, and we record this fact. Now I want to use it. So I'm giving sort of, this is going to be a vector field of cohomological degree 1, nilpotent, scalar 0. I'm saying, so this is a vector field which has a linear and so on, higher order. And the free part was corresponding to linear vector field, which was Q. And the higher, sort of the cubic and so on part was corresponding to Lie bracket and so on. That's the claim here. Yeah, I think it's, one should do exercise. I think this is maybe, if you haven't done this sort of thing. Okay. And another thing, again, recall, this is from sort of exercise 4 in first day, that if you have map of L infinity algebras, this is map of augmented commutative differential graded algebras. And this was observed the same as Mora-Cartan element in, let's see, right, G2. Or a Cartan element here, there. So if you think about this example, the symmetric algebra of G2 dual shift by minus 1, so given a degree 1 element here, you can kind of put it there, and then you get this sort of map. And this being L infinity algebra is exactly corresponding to the fact that that is actually solving Mora Cartan equation. That was an exercise. Again, I understand if you didn't sort of follow everything, but I hope the statements are clear. So what am I saying? So the situation was symplectic vector field, which in this notation, I'm going to be writing this way. So maybe I should have said this BM is just a notation such that functions on BM just by definition means Chevalier-Lemov co-chain complex on M. There is a sense that this is kind of some sort of classifying space. Why this is why I wrote that notation. Do you mean I need to record sort of the Chevalier-Lemov co-chain complex?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. So, this together with the differential coming from L infinity structure. That was exercise 3 on the first day. And the problem now is, trying to understand this. Right? This was simplified vector fields, and this is the functions on E, minus 1. Now, if you combine all the boards, what I'm saying is that given I could have said reduced part here because of the augmentation preserving condition. Can you get an element in so this map, if you believe this, the far right board is encoded as an sort of the Mora-Kartang element here. We want to lift that to this function space, and that is about Mora-Kartang element here. So note that if you there is some kind of the natural map you can write down. Maybe not natural, a map you can write down from reduced part to the this entire complex. And that is going to be kind of the reasonable map if there is some kind of the carving change going on here. So in nice situations, whenever you have an action, you can just find an inner action. So what am I trying to say? Let me try to organize by drawing some diagram. Yeah, I know a lot is going on. So let me sorry, what? Sorry, what? Yes? Oh, I didn't define, sorry. Okay, sorry. I did define exercise 4 there, but I didn't define today. Sorry. I shouldn't assume. So corner of the natural augmentation map. What is what? What is the... Can you maybe ask the question again? I didn't hear.
Why does the
reduced co-chain map to co-chains map to reduce co-chains? So in this case, you have this... maybe this is kind of a not so canonical thing to write when you have this decomposition. But because I don't want to use that kind of non-canonical looking thing, I just want you to reformulate in this way. So what I'm saying is that I'm replacing this thing, action, by this DGLA. I'm replacing this interaction, DGLA, by this. So I'm giving a definition of two DGLAs, which I named as a action DGLA and interaction DGLA. As sort of the kernel of this map. And let me kind of spend some time explaining what's going on here. So what I'm saying is that we are trying to...
So we're given the Lie algebra mapping. So in the very beginning, this race map that you said, we have the Lie algebra mapping to symplectic vector fields, or maybe it's more dimension. So which one is it? Is it just mapping to symplectic vector fields?
So that's kind of what we are given, map to symplectic vector fields. We are trying to lift it to map to functions. So that's what I'm saying. So at the moment, I'm trying to say in terms of classical thing. But if you believe what I just erased here, which is about quantization, is all about this kind of the DGLA. And from this diagram, I'm going to read off like how you are doing things.
Mm-hmm. Here is the problem, like, I sort of have it half from my Lie algebra to my P0 thing, and what I'm trying, and I'm also given a quantization of the P0 thing, or I'm not given a quantization.
So let me I think that exactly to explain that sort of point, I draw this diagram, so let me maybe explain what I want you to, and then maybe if you still have a question, you can ask. So what I'm trying to say is that from the original theory point of view, this object is the one which governs sort of quantization. So, and this object is governing sort of the entire system, like G, your theory, and how they are coupled, and so on. This thing is governing deformation theory of those things without deforming G. So action is kind of the thing which governs deformation of this action part, right? This is kind of there are sort of the three things you can deform: G, M, sort of how it acts. You don't deform G, you fix M here, then this action part is going to govern sort of the what you do for the action part. Similarly, now you can read off this Schrodinger sequence. If you fix action and trying to understand interaction from the usual theory, the obstruction is given by this data. That's how you see obstruction. So from this diagram, given, say, deformation or quantization to next order, once you fix that, then you're trying to understand the other DJLA for the corresponding deformation. So XGM is defined as a corner of this map. Inner action is defined a corner of this map.
And where are the central exceptions here?
So here, you mean for this part. So obstruction is going to be in H1 of G. This is DJLA map. So if you try to find lifting, obstruction is going to be here. Second cohomology class here, which is first cohomology of the one shift thing. Simplectic vector fields. And interaction is kind of the, so.
That's the part.
Right.
The, like, the formal modulus only involving, like, the D0 quantization, but involved map to, like, E mod, like, the quantization mod scalar.
Like, that's right. So that's why we want you to write in this way, because we are thinking of quantization problem here. Reduced part of something, and there we know the sort of the how to do sort of quantization. So that's kind of better formulation than this tensor product reduced thing. That's why I want to define interaction and action in terms of the reduced of something.
Can you just say one more time what data we start with? We start with the data of.
So what I'm saying is that given this thing, you can just start with anything, but I'm saying that important things to understand is. Given field theory data, you can try to understand what is an action. That's one thing. And given an action, try to understand obstruction to lifting to inner action, which is given by this. Those two are sort of the main claims you can get out of this diagram. Sorry, what?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Any other questions? Okay. I don't know what. There is no way I can sort of explain, I guess, the more fun part. So let me think about what to cut and what to explain.
Are you going to do any examples?
Yeah. But as you can imagine, sort of quantum example is kind of, you cannot really do it in any reasonable way. So I'm going to sort of give some classical example and then kind of mention some, I mean, I was going to mention some quantum theorem, but we'll see. So here, by this diagram, what you are seeing is that an action of G on, say, field theory M. So from here, I'm thinking of M for classical field theory. Right, I claim that the information of field theory, classical field theory, was kind of E, Q, I. But another claim was that this Q and I, namely S, is encoded by L infinity algebra structure. And this M is my notation for L infinity algebra structure. So that's what I mean. M is classical field theory. Is a Morel-Carton element in act. GM. Let's say that it is SG. So you may want to write this as SG in this way, just because of definition action. Action is a sort of a kernel of a subspace of this, so you can formulate in this way. But you may also want to write down this as, or the total action functioner, the original action S, which is encoded by this differential, to get plus this action functioner. So if you write out S total as S plus SG, bracketing with S is sort of the D, so you recover that. And similarly, you can write down an inner action as an element in this sort of thing. And the obstruction, maybe I should write. It's about given an action of G on M, the obstruction class in H1 so there is obstruction class such that the action extends to inner action if and only if the class vanishes. I'm just writing out sort of what I explained there in words. Okay. So maybe now let's get to a D-dimensional classical case. Sorry, what?
Just looking at this diagram.
Uh-huh. So I'm saying like the...
MSG being an element of that, of C reduced G plus M. Uh-huh. To act G on it.
Yes.
And it's not just... So, right, it's in the kernel of the map to C reduced event.
Mm-hmm.
That is what act G.
Mm-hmm. I don't. Maybe let me just kind of read it again. So action is a Morakarta element in here.
Yeah.
Sorry. I see. So you're just saying that this is maybe not IE in particular.
Yeah.
They maybe that's what you're trying to point out.
Well, if you want to represent it by its class.
Okay, yeah.
G plus M.
Right.
And it also has to satisfy.
True. Yes. Right.
When you say more cartanal, that suggests deformation. Is that at all related to?
It is going to be an example of this classical network theorem. I'm going to explain now.
So it's not related to deforming by a back
connection? It is related, and I'm going to explain sort of mathematically kind of exactly what how that should be interpreted. Given Flavour symmetry, how you get.
Just to check, so that bottom line is like if I have a symmetry of the bottom line of the diagram. Mm-hmm. If I have a symmetry of a classical theory, like I want to know whether it extends to a symmetry of the quantum theory.
Mm-hmm.
Which part of that diagram has that obstruction?
So you need to understand this diagram.
Okay. Yeah. That bottom line.
Yeah. Any other question? I still haven't decided like what to explain. Maybe kind of answering to their question about like how this background connection appears and things like that. That may be a reasonable goal. So maybe let me try to get there. So, three-dimensional classical case. Again, we need to understand. What plays role of symplectic vector field and functions on E? So symplectic vector field is still symplectic vector field, namely reduced functionals in our formulation. But these functions on E, if you think about sort of the way we are presenting it is as an observers, so we want to formulate this as observers on E. So basically, we are trying to understand this sort of lift. The only thing is that there is no natural magnitude you can write down from observer to symplectic vector field, because once you are in a d-dimensional case, they are not exactly kind of comparable object. Remember, this is kind of some sort of local functionals, and this is possibly having like crazy functionals. But that's fine. So our goal is, given this symplectic vector field, you're just trying to understand a way to generate observables. And new ingredient here is what plays the role of this Lie algebra. As I said, the symmetry now should be becoming something living on the sort of space-time manifold as well, which we didn't need to think about in zero-dimensional case, but now we should. And this is becoming local DG Lie algebra. I mean, of course, you can work with L infinity, but let's just work with DG Lie algebra. And I mean, this is just kind of the. Let me be. Okay, so this is a sheaf given as a sections of a bundle. Together with differential and a Lie bracket, but those are given as differential operator. So let me give an example. Example I'm going to give. All right. So G bundle, let's say it's a sigma is a Riemann surface. And G is simply algebra. Then you can think of this association. So if you know sort of the other story, by G bundle, I just mean that given modulus with G bundle, its deformation theory is kind of governed by this sort of DG LA, and that's exactly what I'm writing down. And another thing is complex structure. And for any complex manifold, let me just write down sort of the global section, and then maybe that's going to be enough to figure out what I mean. Like really kind of the, you know, quadratic spacer sort of the thing. Coming from DGLA, coming from complex structure deformation. And there is this fact that we are going to use. There is this bijection between K-shifted local central extension. So whatever it is, it is kind of the allowed sort of extension, just like previous section in the category of this local DGLA algebra of a local L infinity algebra L. There is a bijection and cohomology class here. Lie algebra version of this we were using already. So where are we? We were discussing, starting from like zero dimensional, like really simple case, we are getting to sort of d-dimensional theory, and now we are d-dimensional classical case, and remember, sort of the input data was action, namely map from Lie algebra to simplicity factor fields, and you're trying to lift it to get some kind of map to observables. And what I was saying here is that simplicity factor fields are still simplicity factor fields. Maybe now it's I need to write log. And functions are observables, which we have spent like much time kind of understanding last week and trying to understand this map. But now the situation is that the symmetry is also kind of local object, kind of field theory object in general. So we are replacing this G by local DGLA algebra. So now the situation is going to be like starting from map from this local DGLA algebra to a simplicity vector field, also known as reduced local functionals. We are trying to cook up observers. So the theorem, this classical net theory theorem, So let's say L is acting on M. And by this, I just mean that you actually have so DGLA map from this L to simplex vector fields as defined here. Then, and suppose alpha is obstruction to making it inner. So then, of course, it defines sort of central extension, defining central extension by this fact, and by sort of this deformation complex, which is still true in this setting. Then there is a factorization algebra map to classical observer. I was going to spend a little bit of time giving some argument for this, but maybe that's not the most important thing I can do. But if you have questions, please feel free to ask later. But I hope the statement is clear. I mean, it's really, if you understood this easier case, not much difference is here. You're really trying to write down this enveloping algebra. And then you're just mapping to space of functions. The only sort of the difficult thing is kind of try to deal with, say, local functionals versus observers, but that can be done and not much problem. So one thing I want to say is that this version of network theorem actually says that deformation of a theory is coming from symmetry in cohomological degree 1. I think maybe this is what Tudor was getting at. And I'm going to say more about how this flavor symmetry is actually giving an example of this. But what I mean by this is just the following. So free scalar theory as usual you have this phi and psi. What I'm saying is that if you introduce this the algebra, abelian Lie algebra in degree 1, that is exactly giving this kind of observer. For any open set. Which yes, right, I mean to write sort of more fancier M here. Let me be more fancy here, I don't know, so. Sorry, it's kind of too late. Let me try to be more fancy whenever I. So this is local functional, and you can certainly when you have this kind of field theory, say scalar field theory, even with interaction there's no problem. You can try to add this term, and it is called the deformation of your theory, and that is coming from a symmetry in this way.
Mm-hmm.
So J alpha?
Or J alpha is a classical observer.
Right, which is a. Yep. Okay, maybe the last thing I want to explain is this. So when people say, so you know, what I'm saying here is that whenever you have a local symmetry, meaning things symmetry depending on your space-time, you can kind of run this Noether theorem argument to understand something. But one thing I want to point out here is that when people say you have a global symmetry, what is called the Flaeber symmetry, that can also be understood as a local symmetry. And then this is going to produce sort of the well-known construction of kind of thinking of background connection. So I'm just kind of going to explain that. So what I mean by this is that given this Lie algebra, in this setting, you can just think of a Drum complex tensor G, and which is defined in local Lie algebra. And this is kind of essentially the same amount of information, just because you know this Drum complex is a resolution of the constant shape. So this is the sense the global symmetry is a local symmetry. But so what I'm saying here is that whenever you have an action of group G, again, what is called the Flaeber symmetry, you can try to think of that in terms of having an action of this Drum complex. And let me observe the following. So if my fancy M is in degrees 1 and 2, and the action factors through less than or equal to 1 form. Let me kind of give a sketch of argument. So action is by definition so what I'm trying to say here is that an action is encoded as sort of the DJLA element of this action DJLA, sorry, Mora-Cartan element of this DJLA. And by definition, this action DJLA looks like just like this. But then this local functional, you must be getting some local function of cohomological degree 0 to be a Mora-Cartan element. But given this restriction on the degree for M, fancy M. You can read off that only this part of drum complex matters. That's all I mean. So for example, if you actually start with sort of the theory which is not gauged, then you can always run this thing. But one claim you can make here is that if you started with some kind of gauge theory and flavor century there, then you cannot do naive kind of coupling using just background connection. So that was a sort of sketch argument. The point is that whenever you do this gauge connection coupling, implicitly you are using, you must be checking this fact, otherwise you need to do something more to show sort of the consistency. Okay, so let me give an example. Again, free scalar theory. So let's write down this E as I want to write down my scalar field theory in this way using complex structure. And using the inner product here, of course, this admits an action of SON, the flavor symmetry. I'm just making claims here. Then you have this local symmetry as well. Then what we are getting is the following. By this proposition, we know that only zero form and one form are going to matter. And let me write down. So what am I saying? My starting point was this theory, free scalar field theory. I noticed that there is an action of SON. So there must be an action of a drum complex. So the way this works was, what worked was that given this theory and action, I was able to basically write down some sort of action functional here, right? Total action functional, which is action functional, the original action functional times action functional. And I just want to write down that action functional, which is so this was phi, psi, this is A, C. So let me summarize. You know, having an action means that you have DGLA map to simplex the vector fields. And having that map is exactly corresponding to having a Mora-Cartan element here, which looks like action functioner. And I just wrote down that action functioner. Starting from this action, which you understand, you can produce this action functioner, and the claim is just this.
And,
sorry?
Why is
that
SON and not just
G? I'm just using inner product here.
Where is the inner product?
So pairing between.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sorry, what was I saying? Right, so what I was saying is that given this flavor symmetry, having this action itself is exactly encoded by some action functioner. Action functioner, and that's exactly this. Now let's interpret this. You originally had this form, and essentially you're just replacing this del by del plus A10, del bar by del bar plus A01. But to guarantee that this is kind of the gauge invariant, you need to do something else, and that's kind of what this zero form is doing. So physicists would be saying like following. You have the original field theory. You just introduced these background fields and background connection. And when they say that, they mean that they introduce this sort of data. And from network theorem, that's just kind of having an action. You just want to encode that like from a field theory data, then like automatically that just gives this. So okay, so let me maybe state some result and then maybe quit. Quantum setting.
Question. Is this free scalar on the surface?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, in 2D. Thanks. So just like you have this enveloping construction for P0, in fact, you have construction for BD algebra, which is kind of formal, which is not kind of difficult. But maybe let me point out some example. So if you started with and then do this kind of the BD kind of formal construction, you get Katz-Moody vertex algebra. This is, I think, written out in Owen Williams' thesis, as well as Kevin and Owen's first book. And if you do this for complex structure deformation, then you get Virasoro vertex algebra. This is written out in Brian Williams' paper. And there's other things. So you can start with some kind of the deformation theory of like Bungee for like higher dimensional complex manifold. And then you get what is called higher Katz-Moody algebra. There is a recent paper by Owen Gilliam and Brian Williams just applying this sort of construction for non-trivial central extension class. So what I want to point out is that there is an example sort of studied by Brian Williams. Uh, Of course, any sort of polymorphic field theory actually ordinates an action of this this local Lie algebra. It's in a sense by definition. So claim is that there is what is called the beta gamma system, and this local Lie algebra acts. And if you apply Noether theorem, I mean, so Noether theorem, as I explained, is kind of the formal process, but there is some non-trivial computation, which is exactly kind of identifying this obstruction class. And that's kind of the main content, and Brian did it. So what you're finding is that a map from Virasoro algebra to this quantum observer, or beta gamma. And Virasoro here, you can identify if beta gamma with the target of V with the dimension, if dimension is complex dimension n, then I think you can identify the center charge to be 2n. In other words, by studying this kind of Noether theorem for this particular example, you get what is called the free field realization of Virasoro algebra, realized in this way. So Noether theorem gives application to a few different subjects. OK, let me end here. Thanks. I should say, no worries for the next lecture. It's not going to assume, and this was, I know, I mean, because it's my last lecture, I kind of want you to convey some more newer aspect. It's not going to assume in chemist lecture, so maybe don't worry too much if you didn't follow. But I kind of recommend trying to serve some exercises because parts of them are going to be used in Dylan's lecture. So I'm going to maybe specify which are more important.